It's hour two of First Up here on TSN 1050. We stream worldwide, tsn1050.ca and the iHeartRadio Canada app. Big Raptors ticket giveaway found in the First Up podcast tomorrow. So you're going to want to make sure you're subscribed. And while you're there, give us a nice five-star rating. A little nod to the boys as well in the comments. I'm Karolnik. That's Cole Iacovo. Last night in Dallas, it was, don't worry, Matt Murray. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Don't worry, Matt Murray.
I think there's a song there. We're going to wait. We're going to work on that. Like Jack Armstrong in his Christmas album. By the way, you seen those clips last night on social media? Jack Armstrong's performance. Dude, it looks like Jack was just holding a microphone and just doing his thing like,
nice.
You know, I don't know, like Cher would do or Celine Dion. Yeah. Jack Armstrong in the Danforth musical. I know Josh Lewenberg was there in attendance. He'll join us at 9:30. But back to Matt Murray. I mean, what an outstanding performance from him last night. 44 saves, a ton of high danger chances for the Dallas Stars on their 7 power play opportunities. And how about this stat? According to Money Puck, and this is a stat that we probably all kind of roll our eyes at, 5.979 goals saved above expected for Matt Murray. That is the best for a goalie in a shutout since modern stats started.
I have no idea what
Me
that
neither.
Means.
It sounds good, though.
I really don't care.
It sounds good. And Murray
goals
was incredible last night.
Above expected? What the
goals
hell
goals saved above expected. I don't know. I sound like I'm Al's brother right now. That's an Al's brother stat.
Well, Al's brother. Holy cow. Is this guy bought into the analytics? Like every
hour of
the game, he's tweeting out a new analytics stat of the Maple Leafs. It's like, dude. I get it. Like,
you don't need analytics to understand just how good Matt Murray was last night. It was pretty obvious he made a number of incredible saves. And I think the sequence of the game happened at the end of the second period where Dallas had a 5-on-3. And again, Mitch Marner broke his stick. It was basically a 5-on-2. They're zipping it around. They're getting great chances. Mm-hmm. And do we have that audio, Chrissy, of how it sounded with Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph last night? I can imagine Bowen must have been freaking out with all the unbelievable performances that Matt Murray put up in that sequence alone. Here's how that sounded.
Robertson, far side, comes around on the near wing. Grabbed off by the Stars again. Back to the point. Robertson closing. Blocked by Marner. Another shot. Blocked there by Sandine. Another shot blocked there by Murray. Another shot blocked by Murray. Murray down. The puck still free. Holy mackinac. They managed to keep it out. What a sprawling effort by Mitch Marner. Matt Murray. Rasmus Sandine.
The whole penalty kill was them just scrambling around, trying to block shots, doing everything within their power to keep that puck out of the net. Somewhat miraculously, that did occur, and in large part due to Sandin and Marner blocking the shots. But Matt Murray made some 10 bell saves
yesterday
on that penalty kill. And throughout the entirety of the game, Matt Murray was awesome. 44 saves, and man, he's making Kyle Dubas look really good right now.
Look, he's making everybody look like a fool that questioned this decision, and good on him. But there's still a part of me that has a hard time believing this can sustain itself.
It's not going to sustain itself. It's not going to be this good.
AK, I don't know about you, but every time I watch Matt Murray make a big save, you see him flinch. And that's the part of me that is still not able to, you know, buy into the belief that this is something you're going to see all season. He gets run into and it's like,
you cringe.
He's nursing something. He gets bumped into. He takes a little bit more time to get up.
He did get hit a lot last night. There was a lot of physicality with the goaltender.
Every time he was getting hit, there was even that scramble play where he gets up and he's motioning his arm like he hurt his arm in that play. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, is this going to be it? And the reason why I feel like that is because I've seen it happen so many times over the last 2-3 seasons. And the next thing you know, he's out for an extended period of time. And credit to him, because the last couple games he's been banged into. There's been some collisions, and he's found a way to grind it out and found a way to push through it and found a way to, you know, like the way he finished that game in Tampa. you know, with the third goal that was scored, where he was scrambling a little bit, and even the overtime goal that was scored, it went right through him, and it made you think, okay, is this something that may turn into something bigger now? And credit to him, these last couple of days, and whoever he's working with, he's found a way to reset himself, and he played an unbelievable game last night, and a big reason why he deserves the praises that he's getting today.
Since returning from his injury that he suffered in the morning skate following the first game of the season, 6-0-2 is Matt Murray, so really can't ask for much more from any goaltender. And Sheldon Keefe, he was a big fan of Matt Murray's performance post-game.
It's perfect. You know, it's perfect on the score sheet. It's perfect in the game. Came up with huge saves and big moments. Obviously, the number of penalties we took today could have been a real problem for us. But, you know, Murr was really solid. That 5-on-3 is incredible. He was outstanding. Happy for him.
You could hear in Sheldon Keefe's voice, and you don't always hear. I mean, Keefe has been very critical of his team at times throughout the course of this season, but I think he was really proud of his guys last night. This was a game they should have lost. They should have lost that game last night in Dallas. They were outplayed and outchanced and out everything for the most part. Yeah. But the way that they were able to pull together, and we'll talk about Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, who I think, beyond Murray's 44 save performance and I guess Marner's 20 game point streak, which was extended last night. The duo
of amazing, man.
It's absurd.
Absolutely amazing. I thought the players on the team joke around saying that, you know, he could probably go 50 games. It's hard to see this thing ending with how good he's playing. It really is.
He's playing very well. Very, very well. And that power play was zipping it around last night.
Every time he's on the ice and the puck is on his stick, he's creating something at the net. Like, he could have had 3-4 points last night that didn't go in.
And I saw, like, the modern day, in the last, like, 25 years, Matt Sundin has 30-game point streak when he was playing with Quebec. So it's
really
within reach, I suppose. But, I mean, again, it's not an easy thing to extend night after night. But fortunately for Marner, he got it on the Leafs' first goal in the first period on the goal from John Tavares.
I was hoping Robertson was going to do it, too, because he had his plethora of chances.
No kidding. The power play, just ripping them.
That 5-on-3 alone, you know, that we just listened to. He had unbelievable, you know, amount of chances to extend his streak. And Matt Murray closes the door. And it just seems like the Leafs are the streak busters. You know, they end New Jersey's streak. They end Pittsburgh's 5-game winning streak. They end Detroit's 5-game winning streak. They end Jason Robertson's 18-game point streak. They're the streak busters.
I think a lot of credit last night has to go to two guys in particular, Rasmus Sandin, Timothy Liljegren. So Liljegren played 25 minutes and 57 seconds last night, a career high by a massive margin. And there's obviously a lot of injuries. Victor Mete goes down in the game.
Well, yeah.
The penalty kill.
Mete only played 3 minutes. So the ice time that these guys got were definitely inflated because, you know, you're playing 5D the whole game. And look, Connor Timmins made his NHL debut yesterday, and it was a rough start in the first period because I think he was just more focused on staying on his feet because he found himself falling over a lot. But, you know, I can't be critical. I can't, you know, give praise because I just thought it was a really, really simple game by him and probably one that he was really happy to get over with. You know, it's been a while since he's played an NHL game. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. It's a new team for him. And sometimes your best game, you know, when you're trying to get, you know, some reaction from your coach or from your teammates is just when you do the little things right and play a quiet game. And I thought that's a positive for him.
Sheldon Keefe talked about the performance of Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren in particular. Here's how that sounded.
I think you learn a lot about their character. You know, like, the team needs them to step up in a big way, and they've done exactly that. Like, those guys played hard today. They played a lot of minutes tired, too. Like, you're down to 5 defensemen. You know, one's Connor Timmins, who's, you know, playing his first game with us and not taking on a whole lot. So a lot's fallen on those two young guys. We've come to expect Gio and Hall to do a really good job for us, but those two have really stepped up here today. You know, I said they played hard, they moved the puck well, they were physical, competitive, and they're doing it a lot on a half a tank, you know, and the bottom of their tank a lot of times. So, yeah, impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, impressive. It, no
really
kidding.
Impressive. And there's not much more a coach can say when it comes to praising his team's effort after a game like that. It really was a gutsy effort by everybody involved, because when you kill seven penalties in a game, and you know, people were saying, you know, William Nylander got some penalty kill time. I believe he had over a minute of penalty kill. This guy doesn't kill penalties. But that's a credit to Sheldon Keefe as well, too, understanding that with seven power plays that you're giving up, the flow of the game is completely eradicated.
Yeah, you got to get Nylander some ice, so otherwise he's just sitting there. There's six minors in the second period alone.
Right? So that's him saying, I got to find a way to get my guys on the ice just to stay within the flow of the game. And that's why you saw other guys, you know, absorb some penalty. Like David Kampf played 16 minutes last night. Probably a season high for him. Six of that was penalty kill time. Like, that's the issue you find yourself in when you're killing this many penalties. You have your bottom six forwards on the ice for a lot of the game because they're the ones that are required to play those roles. But, you know, Sheldon Keefe found a way to get, you know, Nylander some penalty kill time, John Tavares some penalty kill time, even Austin Matthews some penalty kill time in that game. Because you got to keep those guys within the flow of the game so that when they come back, they're not completely out of it.
We'll talk to Dave Poulin, our hockey analyst, at 7:45. It's Leafs Breakfast. Brian Hayes, the host of Overdrive, at 8:15. A lot of Leafs talk coming up here on TSN 1050. Bang or what on the other side? And we'll see what 20 Fingers has cooked up for his, I guess there's no World Cup parlay of the day. Maybe we'll look ahead some futures odds, see some value on the board with regards to the World Cup as the quarterfinals begin on Friday. So bang or what, bed and breakfast, Dave Poulin. This is First Up, TSN 1050.
Ready, set, react. It's bang or what? Will this segment end with a
bang?
Or a
what?
A big time bang to the 13 remaining participants in the First Up Survivor Pool. Just 13 eligible to win the free set of Rodex tires, the free installation at your local Cal Tire, and $2,500 cash.
Yeah.
Go to tsn1050.ca for details.
And shout out to Cam Hawes right now, who's in first place. With 1,148 points. And John Schnoke and Brian Hurst tied for second behind him with 1,146 points with 4 weeks remaining.
5 weeks remaining. And I don't think the points really mean anything. It's about surviving if you get to the end.
Right. But to if there's more than one survivor...
Oh, that's the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker is...
All right.
Yes.
And I guess you got to pick, like, you know, lower teams. That's how you pick up more points, right?
No, I believe you got to predict the score in the game.
Ah, interesting.
And the closest you are within the gap is what allows you to accumulate points in the standings. Well,
good luck to those three gentlemen and the other 10 gentlemen that are... Or ladies, who knows, who are part of the First Up Survivor Pool. Mm-hmm. This is Bang or What? Let's hand the baton to our man, Cheese, to present our topics of conversation. What's up, Cheese?
Oh, you know, just happy to be with you boys. Let's start with the biggest story. Obviously, Mitch Marner getting a lot of accolades for his offense right now. But at the end of the year, people are going to be praising his defense because he's going to finish top three in Selke voting.
Woo, wow. I don't know, man. Like, when you got guys like Barkov and Bergeron still playing the game, the guys that have won this award before.
Bergeron is a lock for sure.
Yeah.
To be in the mix, to be a nominee.
I mean, when I look at Marner, I'm just amazed by what this guy does offensively. And you do bring up a great point, is that people overlook what he does defensively. I'm going to say, what?
I'm going to say bang. I think Bergeron will be a nominee. I think maybe Nico Hischier will be a nominee with the New Jersey Devils. And I think that Mitch Marner, well, I mean, Barkov, Andrei Kopitar, those guys will be there as well. But I think Marner is going to be able to get it done.
Okay.
I think that'd be something special.
Go Mitch Marner.
All right. From one player drafted fourth overall to another player drafted fourth overall, Shane Wright. He's going to have a better NHL career than Yuri Slafkovsky.
That's tough to predict
so
right now.
So tough to predict.
Look, I do a lot of Montreal games, and clearly there's a lot of growth and development that Yuri Slafkovsky still needs. I'm going to say, bang to this one.
I'm going
to
say wang. I'm going to say butt.
Can you have the Landsberg wang one to this? Just because Shane Wright's my boy, man.
You trained him. You taught him everything he knows.
For a couple years.
That goal he scored last night was all because of you.
Yeah, it sure was. I'm going to say Shane Wright. Look, I thought that Montreal should have drafted Shane Wright. I thought, you know, that's a guy you can build around. But clearly they loved what they saw in Slafkovsky, especially with the acquisition of Doc. So, but I'm saying Shane Wright's going to have a better career, yes.
I'm going to go,
wang!
There it is. Is that Landsberg or me? Is that that's no, Michael? That's Michael? Okay, yeah, yeah.
Wang!
So, yeah, nice. I love that. I love that. He's
we
got some
to
good drops.
That back in the banger one.
Yeah, maybe mix in a little oy vey as well from Lindsay Hamilton or from Michael. But, yeah, I think I'd go with Wright as well. He's a centerman.
Yeah.
I think ultimately as things play out, Shane Wright will have a very solid NHL career. I think Slafkovsky will be good too, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'll go with Wright over Slafkovsky.
All right, one more hockey one here. It's not really about hockey, but O-Dog, he's right in saying that Jason Robertson looks like Pete Davidson, and I believe we have the audio here. We'll play it now.
If you don't watch Jason Robertson often...
We call him Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson, well... he can do worse than what Pete Davidson's been as of late, but
we call him that, Johnny, because he's not the fastest skater. He doesn't have the best shot, but man, is he dialed.
That's a lot of work. He's very productive.
He just gets it done. A lot of scoring going on.
Wow, that is a good comparison.
Listen, Jason Robertson's great, but Pete Davidson is Gretzky mixed with Lemieux, mixed with Bobby Orr, not Jason Robertson.
In the dating world.
Well, I think that's the reference that is being implied here. So, love Jason Robertson, having a great year, but that's an insult to Pete Davidson.
I mean, so what is the question you're asking?
So it's that they're comparable. I misspoke. Not that they look like each other.
No,
but
it's not what it's about. It's about scoring a lot. It's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm going to say bang to this, man. I mean,
bang!
Look at Jason Robertson. Even when you watch him play yesterday, he doesn't have the wow factor like a Mitch Marner has when he plays. But he gets the job done. He gets the job done, and I can say the same thing about Pete Davidson.
Yeah, he does.
He's a very attractive guy.
Well, you know about
he gets the job done.
The rumors about Pete Davidson, why he's able to woo the ladies. I'm not sure what Jason Robertson's
tattoos?
Got going on.
That's not it.
That is not it.
He's a tripod.
I think that's more. Okay. That's more so what's going on. He is a tripod. All right, Cheese, what else you got?
Let's go to a team close to Coco's heart, the Buffalo Bills. They're going to retain the top seed in the AFC for the remainder of the year.
I mean,
you say what to that?
I don't even think I need to answer that. you can go ahead.
They've got a matchup with the New York Jets this week, right? And I think the Bills should handle business there. They're rested. Remember, they're coming off the extended break, and the Jets don't have the same fortune. But I still think I like the Kansas City Chiefs to emerge with the number one seed. They do have the same record at this point in time. Both teams 9-3. Both teams have 5 games remaining. And you look at their respective schedules. I think KC's schedule a little bit more favorable. They're at the Broncos. That's a win. At the Texans. That's a win. Home to the Seahawks. That's a win. Home to the Broncos. That's a win. At the Raiders in the final week. That's a win too. 5-0 finish. Can the Bills win out? It's possible. They've got Miami coming to town. They've got another difficult matchup as well in week 16.
They got Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati.
Late in the season. That's going to be the
Kansas City Chiefs
game.
Should be the betting favorite. Nothing against the Bills, just purely about schedule.
I really hope, as much as I hate on Russell Wilson,
don't get your hopes up, buddy.
Can find a
don't
way.
Get your hopes up.
This
it ain't happening.
Find a way
no
to
chance.
Win one game of the 2 games that they play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Just one. And
have you been drinking?
Here's the thing, AK. It's not
the Broncos country. Let's ride, baby.
And everybody will say this when they watch the Broncos. The Broncos have a top league defense.
All right, they have a top 5 defense in the NFL. No doubt about that.
You know, maybe there's something there that can find a way to shut down that offense and squeak out a field goal win against the Chiefs. I don't know, but please, Russell Wilson.
Conjure up some magic. Broncos just, country.
Well, didn't it?
The Broncos country.
Let's ride, baby. The other day that Nathan Rourke is trying out for, has a...
Yeah, he's got a lot of tryouts. We'll talk to Dave Miller about
that.
One
of them is
with the Broncos. Yeah, Nathan Rourke's not playing this year.
He can't play this year?
Well, that's not what's going to happen.
Okay, but here's the thing. We all know about the injuries that
he's never played in the NFL. He's playing the CFL.
We all know about the injuries that Russell Wilson is speculating or
reported to be dealing with.
Do the Broncos shut him down the next 2 weeks of this?
It's possible, but they would go with Brett Rippon as the backup. I mean, if Nathan Rourke signs somewhere, he's not expected to suit up. You know, again, he hasn't played in the NFL before.
Did you think that Brock Purdy was going to be a guy getting a chance?
Well, Brock Purdy at least was operating as the backup for San Francisco for a long time. Again, this, you know, is assimilated
in the system.
Okay, but
Nathan Rourke gets an NFL contract. And he's got 4 weeks to practice with the team, and then all of a sudden they throw him a bone.
I love Nathan Rourke, but I think your expectations are a little out of whack here.
Somebody other than Russell
Wilson. He played in the CFL, dude. Like, he's not stepping in. He's not better than Russell Wilson is right now at this point in time. No, he's
not. I would take Nathan Rourke over Russell Wilson right now. In any sort of competition.
It's really hard to argue that. I don't know, take Baker Mayfield over Russell Wilson.
I'll take anybody over Russell Wilson right now.
It's close. Cheese, we got time for a couple more. Go ahead.
Tom Brady, he's going to win at least one playoff game this season.
Bang!
Get the hell out of here.
Bang!
Come on, bro.
They host a playoff game. They're going to host a playoff game.
Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey.
Lindsay, you're back from Qatar. Hello.
You remember when the Seattle Seahawks won their division? With a losing record, and they hosted a playoff game, they won that game.
What does that have to do with anything?
When you host a playoff game, you have an advantage because you're playing at home.
Okay.
He said...
They also have a disadvantage of sucking. That's a big problem as well.
That's your description of them. My description of them?
Description? Yeah. So, no, that's not actually... That's everybody's description of anybody who's watched the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play.
Tampa Bay will win one.
How much do you want to bet? All right. So, I will... See, the only thing is, like, I'm worried, like, the Giants or, like, Washington sneaks up there.
Tampa Bay will win one playoff.
If the playoffs began today, Tampa would host Dallas. I think Dallas would be a 5.5-point favorite in that game.
Good. Let them be.
Do you agree with that? We do guess the lines a little bit on the show.
It's possible. Today, they would be, yeah. Mm-hmm. 5 weeks can change a lot.
And Bucks get worse. Probably will happen.
Or they can get better.
Or they could stay the same. Cheese, one more. Go ahead.
We had Buster Olney on yesterday. He gave us some inside info for the Jays. And the Jays, they're going to land one of Brandon Nimmo or Brian Reynolds.
I think they will. And I think the Jays are going to land an impact outfielder and an impact arm. And Scott Boras was speaking yesterday to the media, talking about the Blue Jays, was asked about them in particular. And he represents all types of free agents. Scott Boras, his commission checks. Who is he, Pat Morris? Like, come on, just racking up the dollars.
He's below Pat Morris, though.
Yeah, obviously. Pat Morris, the best agent on the planet. We know that. But I was watching what Boras had to say. He represents Carlos Rodon, Taijuan Walker, who signed last night, Sean Manaea. And he also represents Nimmo, Conforto, Cody Bellinger, who signed yesterday. And my favorite free agent prospect for the Jays as an outfielder, Masataka Yoshida. I want the Jays to sign Masataka Yoshida, who they had like 350 in the Japanese league. Hits for power, is 29 years old, big fan of his. And I also want them to sign that Senga guy, the pitcher.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of the Japanese guys because it's fun. Like, you know nothing about them.
Yeah.
And I guess Yusei Kikuchi would be a negative example of someone they've signed. But I like the idea of Senga and Masataka Yoshida.
All right.
Let's bring him in.
Do it up. And look, I'm going to say bang to that. I don't think they're going to be in the Nimmo sort of ballpark because, as Buster referenced yesterday, he's looking to get paid with Boras as his agent.
Well, he's got to wait for Judge to sign. That's another thing.
Well, apparently Judge did sign yesterday.
Arson Judge signed.
Arson Judge.
According to John Heyman. Tough autocorrect there.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But I think the Blue Jays' best approach is through the trade market. And if they can go out and get Brian Reynolds, I mean, probably not a popular name in the Major League Baseball because he played in Pittsburgh, but very, very productive outfielder. Young player, under control. It sort of fits the mold of what the Blue Jays do.
It does.
And the thing that I struggle with is you know, the Blue Jays have said all along, yeah, they're willing to be big players in the free agent market. But it just seems like every name they're attached to, that player chooses somewhere
There's
else.
There's a lot of those so far this year. Bellinger and so chooses the Cubs.
It makes me beg the question that as much as we think about the idea of bringing in these big-name free agents, and granted, they got lucky with Springer coming here 2 years ago, really lucky that Gausman chose to come here. Do you think the players in Major League Baseball feel the same way about Toronto as Toronto feels about the players? Because, I don't know, like...
We're going to find out.
Well, all we keep hearing is the Blue Jays are in the mix. But they never come through with...
Well, just mentioned two examples where they did. They have yet to come through.
Kyle Schwarber was a perfect example last year. Up until the last minute, they were in on Schwarber, and he chose the Phillies.
He did. That was a good choice for Schwarber. Cody Bellinger, a guy that a lot of people are kind of pissed off that the Jays didn't get. Like, Cody Bellinger's been horrible for 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I get it. He won the MVP in 2019. 2019 was a long time ago. In 2019, we had never heard the word coronavirus. That's how long ago it was. So Cody Bellinger, not a guy I would target. I think they will track down one of finding Nimmo. Could be some kind of play on words there for a segment if he signs with the Jays. Yeah. Or Reynolds. And I think they're going to get an arm as well. We'll talk to Dave Poulin, our hockey analyst, at 7:45. Probably not about Brandon Nimmo or Brian Reynolds. More so about the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-0 win. Coming up next, Bet and Breakfast, where... 20 Fingers will apologize for recommending a very poor parlay yesterday in the World Cup. That's coming up next.
Rise and shine.
A tough wake-up call this morning again.
Tired as hell.
It's time for Bet.
Let's just say I'm hammering the over.
And breakfast.
Roll out of bed, maybe make some coffee, have a bite to eat.
Hammering the over, generally a good idea when the Los Angeles Lakers play the fastest pace of any team in the NBA. And they are in Toronto tonight, where the Raptors at 12-12 host the 10-13 Lakers who played last night. They lost by 14 to Cleveland. And in that game, Anthony Davis left with flu-like symptoms, playing just 8 minutes. You would expect that he wouldn't play tonight either, but maybe, you know, he got an IV, he's... rested up, wants to take on the Raps, who are 7.5-point favorites tonight against the Lakers. And hopefully, I think I want Anthony Davis to play. If I'm watching that game, LeBron by himself, essentially, he and Russell Westbrook and Lonnie Walker and that white dude who plays a bunch of minutes for the Lakers. Don't even know what his name. Austin Reeves.
Not Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan, I think they waived him. He's gone. He's right gone. Okay. But... we'll see what Anthony Davis is, what the plan is. We'll find out from JLu at 9:30. But 7.5 points, that seems like a pretty big number for the Lakers on the road against the Raptors, who have been kind of hit and miss.
I mean, that's a good bet, though. I mean, considering, you know, the game that the Raptors had against Boston the other night, where there was a lot of disappointment, comments that were shared after the game, and just seems like a prime spot for the Raptors to bounce back tonight. Do you not agree?
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. Absolutely. And again, it's against a team like the Lakers who are playing much better, but it's still the Lakers.
Oh, Minnesota Timberwolves have signed Matt Ryan.
Oh, maybe. Yes. Maybe, you know, the Indianapolis Colts should sign him, or maybe or the Denver Broncos, or get rid of him, exactly. Yeah. Some good games in the NBA, in the NHL tonight, I should say. The Vegas Golden Knights coming off that win over the Boston Bruins. They host the New York Rangers in Vegas. That should be a good one. And how about the Edmonton Oilers tonight? They could use a win. And Jack Campbell could use a quality start against the lowly Arizona Coyotes, who have lost 5 games in a row. They're falling back down to earth. Remember, there was a point early in the season when Arizona were like, wow, are the Coyotes maybe sneaky, mediocre? Not absolutely horrible, but no, it looks like they are horrible.
Yeah.
But this Karel Vemelka has been playing quite well.
Very well.
In spite of some difficult circumstances in goal for Arizona.
You know, I have a lock tonight. An absolute.
Why is this the first time hearing of it?
I just looked at it right now. The Boston Bruins are in Colorado tonight. They are -170 favorites. Let me just tell you the list of players the Colorado Avalanche are missing in their lineup. No Landeskog, no Nikushkin, no Lekkonen, no Rodriguez, no McKinnon, no Byram, no Manson, no Helm, no Bowers, no McDermott.
No chance.
I mean, they lost to Philly the other night.
Oy.
Like, they're just
I like Boston there. And Boston's coming off kind of a humbling loss, an OT loss, albeit. But, yeah, you're playing the altitude. But Boston's an experienced team. They know what's going on. You know what? I'm with you. How about Boston on the puck line on FanDuel?
That's even better.
Plus 110. So we'll lock that one in. That is Carlo's lock of the night. And, again, we apologize for 20 fingers. His World Cup parlay yesterday, under 2.5 goals in the Portugal-Switzerland
game.
Not
the best.
It was a 6-1 final. So it's all good. Chrissy will be back on Friday with a winner. It's a guarantee. Otherwise, no soup for you, Chris.
So let me just. No soup for you. Okay, so this is the lineup that Colorado is going to dress tonight without McKinnon. Cogliano, Logan O'Connor, Charles Hudon, Alex Newhook, Mikko Rantanen.
He's good.
Brad Hunt. Ooh. Thought he was a defenseman, Brad Hunt.
JT
Compher, Martin Kaut, Galchenyuk.
Oh, he's back.
Anton Blind. That's their forward group.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. That sounds pretty bad. But
and they're probably going to call somebody else up.
Yeah, it's just decimation right now.
Decimated,
for Colorado. And
decimated.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Like, sometimes teams can use that to their advantage and rally through this adversity. We saw it with the Leafs. Man, if you told me that the Leafs would be playing as well as they have been with all the injuries on the back, and I look at you like you're crazy. Yeah. I mean, they've been playing really well, and they're missing their three best guys. That just doesn't happen. And maybe Colorado could do the same thing tonight, hopefully. Not against Boston, but maybe going forward. Dave Poulin, our hockey analyst, will join us on the other side. We'll look back on last night's game for the Leafs, the Matt Murray game, Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren, outstanding performances. And how about Mitch Marner, 20-game point streak. Dave Poulin next for Leafs Breakfast.
This is Leafs Breakfast.
Grabbed off by the Stars again. Back to the point. Robertson closing. Blocked by Marner. Another shot. Blocked there by Sandin. Another shot blocked there by Murray. Another shot blocked by Murray. Murray down. The puck still free. Holy mackerel. They managed to keep it up.
Definitely worthy of a holy mackinaw. What happened at the end of the second period where the Dallas Stars had a 5-on-3, seemingly a million opportunities to score, and yet the Toronto Maple Leafs blocking shots and Matt Murray stopping shots, something that was consistent all night long. 44 saves for Matt Murray. Let's bring in our man, TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. What's up, Dave? How are you? It's not that well.
Yeah,
it's
not that great. Well. All right.
Like, hey, guys. Really? That was my Dave Poulin impersonation, apparently. Hey, guys. I don't know why that is. So we'll get Dave on in just a moment. But I think the way that they were able to just play with such a passion last night and really demonstrate a level of commitment that is commensurate with playoff hockey. You don't see guys sacrificing themselves that often in a regular season game on a Tuesday night in Dallas. But Sandin and Marner and the way Matt Murray's flailing all over the net, I mean, it was something wild. All right, let's bring Dave in. Dave, are you with us?
I am,
there
gentlemen.
He is. There he what's is. Going about that? What's going on, Dave? But we're talking about... Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I was going to start, I think, exactly where you were, and that's with 27 block shots. Yeah. And you could start with the PK. You could start with the goaltending. You could start with the overall team defensive effort, but 13 different players with block shots. And there's a level of commitment now, guys, that we've seen at various points in the last, you know, handful of years. But this may be the longest sustained period of time we've seen it for. So there's one regulation loss in the last 18 games. Uh-huh. And there's just, you know, if I see... What lights me up is seeing a 3-foot pass to Austin Matthews below the defensive goal line and John Tavares below the defensive goal line and helping this defense core out. And not only is it under man, but then they go down a man, you know, a few minutes into the game and they're down to 5. And one of them is Connor Timmins, who's brand new. And you can't say enough about the group and the way they're doing it as a whole. This is the best team defense that this team has played. Now, they've played it in stretches before. But for a long period of time, 17, 18 games, this is the best team defense that this team has played.
Now, looking at Matt Murray, he was outstanding last night, 44 saves. And I'm just looking right now. He made 17 saves on the power play.
Whoa.
Like, that's, you know, you're 7 for 7 on the penalty kill. And you talked about team defense, Pooley. Is this a product of Matt Murray finding his game, or is this a product of Matt Murray playing in a team that's playing strong defense?
I think it's a combination of the two. I do think Matt Murray is finding his game. His lateral movement was really good last night again. but I think as a whole, the team is playing well in front of him. So those two things have to go hand in hand. You have the confidence as a team to know that you're going to get a save, but you're also going to lay it out. And that sequence at the end that, that Bonesy does is just great because, you know, the inflections in his voice in the last minute, you know, you'd think the team was on a power play scoring goals and it's all defense oriented for Bonesy. And it's just great because it's a full commitment. And so I think it's a combination of the two, but you have to look at the goaltending as a whole. And you have to give Eric Schallgren some love because he's still played more games in net than anybody has this year. Mm-hmm. And now as the Leafs get up in the true upper echelon of goals against in the league, it's impressive to see what they've done with two of their three guys being hurt this year. And, you know, he held it together pretty well at a critical moment. And, you know, and now Murray's back. He looks healthy. Now the key thing will be to find this rotation. Like, how is it going to rotate out? And who's going to thrive? And because you've got two guys now who both will want and should want the net. But how is it going to play out? You know, what are the pieces going to be? How's it going to fit? You're third in the league in goals against average, and you've played three different guys an exact equal amount of time. Well, now it's down to two, and what a great option for Sheldon Keefe to say, okay, you know, this guy plays well against this team, or this guy's good in this situation, or in this building, or whatever it may be. That's quite a luxury that the Leafs haven't had in a while.
Dave, is it premature to say that Kyle Dubas' goaltender gamble in the offseason has paid off?
Well, it has. We're still 25 games into the year. And, you know, and with Matt Murray in particular, Samsonov, a little bit different in that, you know, this was still going to be a project. And, you know, that rolled the dice a little more. So Matt Murray was injury-related, guys. We've seen him play well. You know, he's won two cups, but we've seen him play well through segments. He played this well in Ottawa through segments of 4, 5, or 6 games.
Yeah.
And that's got to stretch out. We watched it happen when we would say, okay, Matt Murray is clearly back, but it wasn't sustained. And it wasn't behind this good of a hockey club either. And, you know, now he's playing behind the third best defensive team in the league from a goals against standpoint, and it's playing in a very structured manner.
Pooley, you worked in management. In management right now, with looking at this team through, you know, their lenses, you're obviously pleased with the growth that you've seen with some of your young players, especially on defense, with Sandin and Liljegren. And if you're still in management when everybody's healthy, are you still, you know, are you still, you know, working under a sense of urgency to go improve this defense, or are you happy with, you know, the way it's structured out after this with Brody and Riley as a pair, Giordano and Hall as a pair, and Sandin and Liljegren to round out the top six?
Well, I think they're proving that they demand that. That's what you want. I mean, Sandin and Liljegren were really good last night.
Really good.
They were really good, and they were good as a pair. They played big minutes. And, you know, ideal if they're playing 23 and 25 minutes last night, you know, are they better at 17 or 18? Maybe. Maybe they thrive on that much time, and it'll be allotting those minutes. But, you know, it's not up to the management to prove it. It's up to the players to prove it. And it's the players that are saying now, you know, we're in this role. This is the role we're comfortable in, and we're going to sustain it. And certainly when you plug in, you know, two guys, and the thing about, you know, losing a guy like Morgan Riley for as long as you did, when those guys come back in, they give you such an injection. You know, I always feared teams that had key guys out during the season because they'd come back and they were fresh and they were energized. And now they're absorbing, you know, what if you were to come back and absorb, say, 18 minutes? And you're just slicing a little bit. Like, you have to slice them off of Mark Giordano, guys. You have to, as well as he's playing, you know, at 39 years old. that those are just big numbers. And man, is he playing well.
Well,
he's doing the simple things in the game so well. So you are fine if you plug, you know, Brody and Morgan Riley back in, and this group continues to play like they are. They've got to play it in whatever role that they fit into when those two guys come back in.
Well, Pooley, I mean, you talked about Giordano. You know, obviously the big question mark is the status of Jake Muzzin. Will he ever play again? What will the replacement be for him? Isn't the best option to replace him internal with the with Mark Giordano and what he's shown you that he could do with an elevated role?
Well, it is for sure. But, you know, you once again, just respectfully, at that age, those are the minutes are too big right now. Now they're too big because they have to be right now. And during the portion of the season, if he can give you that, what a luxury. But knocking him back to 16 or 17 minutes, he'd tell you, no, I'm better at 23. That's just a lot. There's a cumulative effect to this. We're 25 games into the season, guys. And, you know, and he's had this role now for an increased number of games as those two key guys have been out. But for anyone to sustain that, you know, let alone someone that age, would be just remarkable.
Our guest is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. Dave, of course, in Dallas last night, it was Mitch Marner's point streak against Jason Robertson's point streak. That was a focal point for hockey fans. But also in Seattle, we were eagerly anticipating Shane Wright getting called up for the Kraken, of course, against the team that passed on him and opted to draft Juraj Slafkovský, number one overall. Wright scores last night, his first NHL goal. Ultimately, Seattle loses, but when you see how Shane Wright comes up, performs, I think he was playing on a line with Yanni Gourde and Bjorkstrand, so he was getting a legitimate opportunity from Seattle. How do you think Seattle should proceed with Wright? Do you think they should lend him to the Canadian team of the World Juniors, and how do you think it plays out for him after that?
Well, he certainly got a boost of confidence going down to the American League, and he scored a couple goals and, you know, remembered he could play hockey again. I mean, this is a really good hockey player. And it seems to me the track is that he's going to the World Juniors. And that was the whole track. And what a boost of confidence to have him up and play and score his first goal before he goes. But I think that's the track, Aaron. I think that was the plan in place. Yeah, to go get him some confidence and come back up and play. And, you know, that team's been on such a roll that helps too. I mean, when things are going well, it's easy to make decisions like that.
Yeah, no, I said it to Aka early. It's amazing how the hockey gods play out. Right? I mean,
well, I think it was also a plan in place for Seattle.
It was. It was an absolute plan in place when they sent him down to Coachella to come back and play one game. Again, I mean, ironically, it was against his, you know, the Montreal Canadiens. I almost said former team because it was.
We thought he was on Montreal.
It's his former team, but clearly it's not. And then just how everything lines up. You know, he scores his first NHL goal against a team he probably should have been drafted to. Love the hockey god moment there.
You know, sunshine moment too, guys. Like, you know, the farm team being in Coachella Valley is like, Seattle's a beautiful city, but Coachella Valley right now in early December, I think it'd be pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I remember when Cleveland had a bad team in the American League in baseball, their minor league team was in Hawaii, their AAA team.
What?
Nice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Send me down, please.
That's exactly what it was. You know, when a bad team in the majors or the AAA team was in Hawaii. So Coachella Valley would be a pretty nice place to go for 2 weeks to get your game back.
It's always weird when your minor league team's in a better spot than your pro team.
Yeah.
A way better spot. Hawaii? Yeah, Hawaii. Like that seems kind of counterintuitive. That's a pretty long trip from Cleveland to Hawaii.
Yeah. No kidding. Don't call me up. Yeah. Actually, you know what? My groin hurts today.
God, somebody else up? Hammy's acting up. Sorry, boys.
You better be on a one-way contract, guys.
Right. No kidding. Last thing before we let you go, Pooley. Do you fear that we might be seeing a scenario that the Colorado Avalanche might not make the playoffs this year because of how decimated their lineup is becoming?
Well, I don't see it happening. I understand what you're saying. I think they get bodies back and the team is too good. The problem is in that Central Conference. I mean, you know, you got some teams playing well that you weren't. I mean, everybody.
Winnipeg's leading the division.
Well, everybody for a few years now. I mean, I've been on Winnipeg for a while. They haven't done it. Minnesota's having a better year than I thought they were going to have this year. Dallas is right back. Dallas is the recipient, I think, of a team that's had a couple of good coaches in a row, guys. And, you know, they've gone from Rick Bowness to Pete DeBoer. And there's teams like that around the league. I think Boston's like that. They've gone two good coaches in a row. And I think Dallas is like that, you know. Dallas is like that. And Las Vegas, you know, going from the coaches they have from Pete DeBoer to Bruce Cassidy. Yeah, but no one expected Seattle to be up there. It's just what's going to happen in that Central Conference. And I don't see it. I see Colorado getting their bodies back. I think they're too good, Carlo. I really do. I think they're going to be just fine as things. You know, once again, they just got to stay the course and then get those bodies back. And then they'll have bodies that are rested with low mileage on them.
Dave, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for doing this. We'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
See you too. Pal. That is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin here on Leafs Breakfast. If you missed any of the conversation we just had with Dave or any of our segments, hours, interviews, you can find them all podcasted on iTunes, Apple is iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio Canada app. I get confused. There's a lot of different podcast apps, so it's hard to track. And again, we're giving away Raptors tickets with clues that lie within our podcast tomorrow. Brian Hayes will join us at 8:15, the host of Overdrive, and the Nail Gun at 8:45. No, I know he can. Nobody can. He is covering. You can't do it as well as me, as I can. So the Buffalo Bills, Nail Gun, heading over to Buffalo today to cover.
Oh, there it is.
The Bills and the Jets this week. And we'll talk about the Tennessee Titans, who fired their GM yesterday in a very curious move.
Like, to me, that is basically a move that the owner said, I'm pissed that you traded AJ Brown.
No kidding.
And you're getting fired for it.
So we'll get into that with the Nail Gun. Hour 3 of First Up next.